Good to have Brother Roger Buckland from Mindanao, the Philippines, with us. It is a very special treat for us to have him break into his missionary trip and to offset his schedule to be with us this weekend, and I've enjoyed having him so much. Come preach to us, Brother Buckland.
I'll be reading from the book of Acts tonight, if you'd like to turn there. The book of Acts, the second chapter. And if you would like to stand, that would be so very nice. I appreciate the privilege to be in this service and with you these last few days. Your pastor and his family are some tremendous, tremendous people. And I count it a joy that I've come in contact with them, that God has brought us together. We'll put it that way. And I feel like I'm in the Philippines tonight. Kind of like how we act over there, you know. And Brother Troy was talking about it, 100. I was told Pastor Shirty today, I was in the service a little over a year ago. And preacher got up and preached, and when he finished preaching, 367 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one service. Praise God. So it's not hard for God. And you know what? It doesn't cost him any more for 100 to get it as it does for one. It's the same price, and he's already paid the price. Amen. This service is in tune with what I have felt all weekend to preach on tonight. So I'm just believing it's from the Lord. Verse number 12 of Acts chapter 2. And they were all amazed. I like this service. We're in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And I want to preach tonight on unsa mana. You may be seated. I apologize tonight. I am a missionary, and so I just has to work in that way, I guess. But if you were in the Philippines with me, you would occasionally hear these words, unsa mana. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. If you were with me in the marketplace in the Philippines, where we get many of our groceries, we'd have a picture of it here Friday night, some of you saw it, and you'd be walking down those little aisles and you'd see all the elements that were laying on the tables there. And if you saw something and you didn't know what it was, and I guarantee it would take place, then you would look at the tender there, the lady, tendara is what she would be, and you would ask this question. You'd say, unsa mana. And that simply just means, what's that? Well, let's see if we can all say it. Unsa. Unsa. Oh, pretty good. Mana. Mana. Oh, good. Unsa mana. Let's try it together. Unsa mana. And that's what I want to preach about, unsa mana. So we're in the marketplace, you're walking down, you see some stuff on the table, it's doing everything but crawling, you don't know what it is, and so you want to find out, and so you ask, unsa mana. And they tell you, see. And if you were talking to somebody, you know, see, their language is not as broad as our language, and so one thing could mean a lot of different things in their language. So if you were talking to somebody and you didn't understand what they were saying, and you wanted clarification, they'd make a statement, they'd say a word, and say they'd say the word gasing gasing. And you don't know what gasing gasing is. Okay? So you'd ask. You go, unsa mana? Unsa mana? In other words, what's that mean? Gasing gasing. Oh, gasing gasing means heart. In case you didn't know. Kasing kasing is heart. So if you're in a conversation, they were talking, you know, say, imong kasing kasing, what's kasing kasing? Unsa mana? They'd say, oh, that's heart. And see, it's kind of, you use that word unsa mana for stuff you don't understand. Use unsa mana, the expression, for something you don't know what it is. See? So I just had to make that clarification as I walk into the Scriptures tonight. I'm not going to be real long-winded because God's going to pour out the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you about it. You know, we're in a service like this, and I just couldn't help but notice we have some visitors, and God bless you. Man, that's what church is all about. But I remember when I would bring guests to church, and most guests react similar. One time I not. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. One time I not. What in the world have I gotten into? You know, what is this? And so that's what I want to preach on tonight, unsa mana, and hopefully you'll have a little better understanding of what it is. Amen. The children of Israel were leaving Egypt. They had been slaves for some 400 years, and they were going to a place called the Promised Land. It was Canaan. And on their way out, they had a lot of miracles that got them started. Amen. And we believe if you're here tonight, maybe your first time, I believe it's miraculous that you even got this far. Amen. And it might be a greater miracle that you lasted this long. Amen. That's right. You know, a lot of people aren't as excited about God as we are. That's right. And some people feel uncomfortable. And I'm glad you're here. I really am. But some miracles took place to get them out of Egypt. Plagues and things like that. And they got on their trek out of Egypt. And you know the story about, many of you know the story about them leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. They were excited. I imagine the kids were jumping up and down and running. Woo! You know, they used to feel the bite of the whip every night. But now they're free. That can bring some excitement. You know what? Amen. That can really bring excitement. And, oh, the kids were running and they were laughing and playing and they were having a great time. Oh, now, before they left, Moses wasn't sure how long the trip was going to be. You know, he wasn't sure how long it was going to take. So he left some instructions. Well, you know, they had this Passover lamb, and he said, now, if you don't eat all of it, bring it with you. But they're supposed to eat it all. But, you know, he said, you know, if there's any scraps. And then he said, as a matter of fact, we better stick some food in. You know, now, it doesn't say they were Pentecostal. But, you know, every time Pentecostals travel, they got to have something to eat. You know how it is. I bet if we looked in some of your cars, we'd see some of the evidence. You can't get in that car and go very far on a trip without at least getting some peanuts or a Coke or something. You know how it is. Well, Moses, he didn't know how long this journey was going to be from Egypt to the Promised Land. So he said, you folks be sure and bring you something to eat. That's right. Well, maybe it wasn't those exact words, but that's what he told them. Get something to eat. And so they did. They stuffed their pockets. They stuffed their purses. You know how the mothers were. They got everything ready. Not only did they take cooked and prepared food, they went to their neighbors. Borrowed stuff from their neighbors. Yeah. Hey, we're going on a little journey. Got any extra food? They did. And then not only that, they took some stuff but that wasn't even ready to eat yet. They took the cow still on the hoof. They drove sheep before him. He didn't know how long it was going to take. And you know, one thing you got to really watch out for is you got to have plenty to eat. Some people concerned about that anyway. And they were, I think. Now, you think about it. We're talking 3 to 5 million people. That just about wipe a McDonald's store out. If they had one, but they didn't have one. So they go on the journey. They get out onto the journey for several days, and then the food supply started getting a little bit low. And then they had to start slaughtering some of the cattle. They had to kill some of the sheep. They didn't take pigs. They were Israelites, so they didn't take pork. All right. But here they were on their journey. They probably killed some goats and sheep and things like that. But after a while, the flock and the herds dwindled to nothing. You know who the first ones to really tell you they're hungry are? That's the kids. Yeah. Babies first. You know, that's how they are. They're designed that way. And then the little kids. And I can imagine it might have gone something like this. One of the little kids is crying to mom, and mom goes to dad and says, honey, baby's hungry. And you know how dads are. Many times, they're very oblivious to these everyday stuff because, you know, they're out doing the will of God and stuff like that. And you know, they're making this march, and they don't think about some of this stuff. So when mom comes to dad and says, you know, Junior, he wants something to eat. You know what dad says? He says, well, give him something to eat. You know, that's typical. But then mom says, well, we got a problem. We don't have anything. What? We left with two cows and three sheep or whatever he had. I mean, I saw you load your pockets and your pocketbook. We got plenty. No, no, no. She said, we've been traveling many days now and you've been eating every meal. And the kids have been eating and we don't have anything else. He said, well, man, find something until supper time anyway. And so mom would do what she could to prepare something and keep the kids satisfied. But, you know, kids got to eat or else they don't get very content. Right. So they're crying and they're screaming. After a while, dad gets hungry. That's when things start happening. You don't think that's true? Wait till Tuesday afternoon. Yes. Because when dad gets hungry, you know, everybody walks on eggshells. Something about these masculine men, you know, they don't like to be hungry. Well, anyway, after dad gets hungry, he says, you know, we're going to have to do something about this. And a lot of the children of Israel, they got together in their little, you know, in their little groups, and they begin to discuss, hey, we're running out of food, and we're out here in the wilderness. There's no place to get this much food. I mean, there's no place to get this much food, and we're going to have a problem out here unless we can get something to eat. So what are we going to do? And so finally, they decide to elect this group of men and go talk to Moses about it. So they do. They go talk to Moses. Moses? Yeah? He said, Moses, we're having a problem. What's the matter? God's given us this victory. We're walking from Egypt to Canaan land. I know it, Moses, but our kids have been crying. He said, can't y'all take care of your kids? Well, yeah, we can, but we're hungry, Moses. We don't have anything to eat. So Moses, being the typical pastor, he understands problems, so he gives them the classic answer. He says, all right, pray about it. That's classic answer. It's a good answer. So they did. And nothing happened. Well, after a couple more days, it's getting pretty rough around the old tent. Because hardly anybody's got anything to eat. And finally, this group comes back to Moses a little bit sterner. You know, Moses, remember we talked to you the other day? He said, yeah. We told you we was all hungry, right? Moses said, what did I tell you? You said for us to pray, Moses. We've been praying. He said, yeah. He said, but nothing's happened. Now, Moses, we want to explain something to you here. He said, either you get us something to eat or we're going to kill you. He said, now we've been among all the children of Israel, and this is our feelings, Moses. You know, some people, it's interesting what it takes to get some people to respond. You know what Moses decided? He said, I'll tell you, brethren, what? He said, I think I'm going to go to prayer. I think I told you last October when I was here. I don't remember if I told you about being surrounded by the communists. Did I tell you? Okay, let me just brief you on that quickly. When I was out in a place called Tagukpo, Davao Oriental, and I was surrounded by communists in that service. They lined the outside with their guns pointed at us. And I told you about it. You can ask somebody. But just to tell you a little bit about the end of what happened. I told you what happened. After I kept preaching and kept preaching, the communists put their guns down and walked away. God gave us a great miracle. But you know what happened when I got done preaching? Every person in there came to the altar. Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody came to the altar. I mean, little kids, adults, older, everybody came to the altar. And I didn't even tell no sad stories or nothing. You know how preachers do have to do sometimes. It's amazing what the right motivation will get people to do. It's amazing. Now, none of us have been dragged here, I don't think. And we don't have a gun pointed at our head tonight. But I would hope that we could all respond without that exterior motivation. See? Amen. And I was asking God about that, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, we don't have the external motivation here like they do in the Philippines. You know, sometimes when I go to church, one time I went 45 minutes drive to church, had 19 checkpoints. Had to stop, get out of your car, put a machine gun at your head, they frisk you, they go through all your luggage, they go through everything. 19 checkpoints on the, it's normally a 45-minute drive. We don't have to go through all that to get here. And we get frustrated if the train comes by. We don't have the same external motivation, see, for us to pray. And I begin to think about, and I was talking to the Lord about it in the prayer room one day, and the Lord spoke to my heart and He says, the reason we don't have external motivation, because God expects us to respond without it. Amen. I mean, God expects to move in a service like He has here tonight, and He expects us to respond without being forced to. Amen. 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 Praise God. I'd rather be here tonight than in the best and the finest and the most beautifully decorated and the most plush carpeted hospital there is. Amen. Well, Moses feels some motivation. You get us something to eat, Moses, or we're going to kill you. So Moses said, I think I'll pray. Pretty smart man, wouldn't you think? So Moses goes to prayer, and he prays, oh, God, we're having a problem here. All these people are hungry, and when you got 3 to 5 million hungry, that's a lot of hungry stomachs. And he said, what are we going to do, Lord? And the Lord said, I'll tell you what, Moses. You tell those men to go back to their tents, spend the night, one more night in their tents, and tomorrow everything will be all right. So Moses, breathing a little better, questioning it all, I'm sure, in his mind. But he goes, all right, brethren, I've heard from the Lord. Go back to your tent. Everything's all right. God's going to take care of everything. Tomorrow, everything will be okay. You think so? Yeah, the Lord confirmed it to me. So they do. They go back to their tents, and the kids are crying. You know, kids, when they're hungry, they will cry until they go to sleep. And then they sleep till the hunger overtakes the sleep, and they wake up. And it's like that all night. Some of you know that better than others, you know, when you got those real little ones. And so after the kids quit crying and mom and dad quit talking and the sun has gone down and the flaps on the tent are closed, they finally go to sleep for just a little while. Early the next morning. You know, the little holes in the tent that let the sunlight come through when it first comes up. Hits Papa in the eye, and he wakes up. Seems like I didn't get hardly any sleep. Those kids were crying all night. And he goes and he throws back the tent flap. Futsamana! Honey! Come here! Futsamana! Well, I don't know. Look. I can't go out my tent. It's everywhere. Is it alive? I don't know. Will it hurt you? I don't know. Never seen anything like it. Neighbor! Woo! Open the tent! Look out! And so the neighbor opened. What do you want so early? Utsamana! Moses, all right? Moses! Moses. Yes! Look! Oh, Zavanna! I don't know how they responded, but I know they responded. The Bible says it was white, kind of like a coriander seed, and it was over the whole ground. It was all over. And Moses goes, oh, don't worry, it's all right. And Moses walks out into it. See, it doesn't hurt you. This is the miracle from God. Remember I told you God was going to supply the food? This is the food that God supplied for us. Because they didn't know what it was. Yeah. Now we know what it was, because we know all about that stuff. We read about it, but they didn't. Think about it. They didn't know what it was. Moses said, what are we going to do? You just got to collect this stuff up and get enough for today, and you can eat it, like popcorn if you want, or if you want to mix it up and bake it, you can bake it, fry it if you want. Whatever you need it for, it'll work. And it was food. Well, the Bible called it angel's food. Angel food cake, I guess. I don't know. It was angel's food. If they baked it, it would have been angel food cake, see? So it was, and God gave that to the Israelites. Oh, it's interesting because I can see them getting together. Oh, let's have a committee meeting. And they have a committee meeting and says, well, all this stuff is falling down. What are we going to call it? Oh, what do you want to call it? Oh, what should we call it? So everybody that sees it says the same thing. Unsa mana. That's what they named it. Mana. So they just named it that because everybody looked. Unsa mana. So we'll just name it. Mana. It is interesting because when you trace the word manna back in the Hebrew and you find the derivatives and what does this word manna mean, the word manna means, what is it? That's what it means in Hebrew. What is it? Everybody saw it and said, ooh, what is it? Unsa manna? They didn't understand it. But what it really was, it was God's provision to get them from Egypt to the promised land. Amen. You know what? Not one person could make it from Egypt to the promised land without the manna. Let's just draw a hypothetical situation, all right? We got old Hiram over here. Hiram, he comes out of his tent, Unsa manna! And they said, oh, that's God's, you know, God's provided it for us so we can have sustenance and strength to get from Egypt to the promised land. He said, I don't want any. Weren't you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry like everybody else, but I don't think I'll like it. It's not for everybody anyway. Well, wait a minute, Hiram. God supplied it, you know. It came down with like the dew. God, give it for all of us. And you, oh, I ain't going to eat any. That fellow's pretty stubborn, isn't he? You know what happened to him? He died. They didn't have no more food. That was it. You either eat this, Herm, or we'll bury you. Right? It's amazing. Did you know what? There's some very similar correlations to Acts chapter 2 as there was when God gave the manna. Matter of fact, they make some of the same statements. Let's take you to the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. This is in Jerusalem. It's in Jerusalem, and some fellas are wandering down the street of Jerusalem, all right? Here they go. It's early in the morning. Well, it's not too early, but kind of early, around 9 in the morning. And they're walking around Jerusalem, and they're going around the city, you know, and they're talking and having a good time. And all of a sudden, they hear something. All of a sudden, Unsa manna? Listen, listen. That sounds like, I don't know what it sounds like. Unsa manna? Oh, Oh, this one. Let's go see. Oh, it's from up there in that room. Sound like a bunch of noise. Oh, I'm going to look in the window. I wouldn't if I was you. Might be a secret meeting. I don't know. It's awful loud. And he goes and looks in the window, just peeks in a little bit. Oops, am I not? What is it? You don't see. Look. There's people jumping up and down. Yeah. They don't act like they got any sense. Listen! They're all talking in funny languages. I know one of those guys, and he don't know no other language. He's lucky to speak Galilean. They responded the same way on the day of Pentecost as the Hebrews did when God gave the manna. Amen. You know, the scripture I read you is there in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, but let's start at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, boy, they were excited. Man, they began to speak in languages they didn't understand. This was the birthday of the church right here in Acts chapter 2. And they were all amazed. No, they were... And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, people started talking about it. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own tongue where he was born. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, all of them. 17 nations. They heard them speaking in their languages. Wow, they couldn't believe it. What's a mana? What's a mana? What meaneth this? And that's what I'm preaching tonight. What is all of this cacophony here? What is this noise that we're hearing? This is such a beautiful service for this message because you act like something they did there. We're all amazed. Some doubted it. They said, what's a mani? Mani is this. What's mana? What's that? What is it? Then Peter stood up and began to explain to the people that were there what had happened. Amen. He said, this is that which was spoken in the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they'll prophesy. This is a fulfillment of Old Testament Scriptures. Is what Peter told them that day. Amen. This is what God told us about. This is the Spirit that He's going to pour out upon His people. Amen. It's amazing because people in our world today react very similar. They really do. Like I was saying, I love for first-time people to come to Pentecostal churches. Oh, I love. Because they respond. You can see it in their eyes the same way. Oh, what's going on? Don't worry. It's the manna of the New Testament. Amen. The Holy Ghost of the New Testament is the manna of the Old Testament. You see, we're on a journey from a sinful life to a heavenly city called New Jerusalem. Amen. It's a promised land that God said He was going to give us. Amen. They sang just a little ago, I've been delivered. That's like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. I've been delivered. I been delivered. We're happy about it. But did you ever notice something? The moment you get the Holy Ghost, you don't die. You're not raptured just as soon as you get the Holy Ghost, I don't think. We feel like it, but, you know, after a while you're still walking to work every day or whatever. You know, we're still in this world. We're on a journey right now from sinful life to a heavenly city. You know what? You can't make it unless you got the manna. Now, maybe it's not that way here, but over in the Philippines, you know, we've got some churches that are teaching Filipinos, says, well, this thing called the Holy Ghost, they said, we can see it's in the Bible, and it's all right, but you don't have to have it. They say, you don't have to have it. It's a good gift, you know, and if you get it, all right, no big deal. You don't have to have it. But that's kind of strange to me. Think of the trouble that our God went to provide it. Amen. Our God came to this world. He suffered, He bled, and He died so that we can have a part of His Spirit. And then somebody tells me, it's not really necessary. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost baptism in 1991. Amen. We're not in heaven yet, folks. We need the help of the Spirit of God to get to that place that God said we can go to. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it's for everybody who'd like to have it. Amen. The Bible says when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in a language you never understood. Don't worry about that. Some people get bent out of shape on that and they start seeking for tongues. Don't seek for tongues. No. You're getting sight. You know, if I went down the store and was trying to buy a pair of shoes, see, that's a nice shoe, isn't it? And if I wouldn't go to that store and say, you got any tongues here? Oh, look. Oh, look at this. Boy, isn't that nice? Look at that tongue. Woo. I like that. You think I could get that tongue? No. You don't do that. That's ridiculous. You go and look for the shoe and get the shoe. The tongue is automatic. It just comes with it. Amen. Don't get bent out of shape on tongues. Seek the Spirit of God. Let God give you the Holy Ghost. Tongues are automatic. They just come along with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. The manna of the New Testament is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And tonight, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I challenge you to throw back your tent door tonight and look outside and see what's here for you and go out and get as much of it as you want. Woo! Because you need it to get to the other side. Romans says, without His Spirit, you're none of His when He returns. Kind of sounds essential to me. Amen. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost baptism. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is here tonight, right now, to give somebody the Holy Ghost that's never received it. Would you stand with me? Choir sang about the Holy Ghost just a little while ago. About being delivered. There are people in this service tonight that would like to receive the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. God's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. Amen. And don't get bent out of shape on tongues. That's just automatic. Seek for the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. He'll take care of the tongue part. Amen. Amen. Filipinos receive the Holy Ghost so very easily. And I'm going to give you just a little instruction tonight, just briefly, and tell you. If you would like to receive the Holy Ghost, what you need to do, first of all, the Bible says you have to repent of your sins. You see, you got to repent before you can get the Holy Ghost. That's Bible. Amen. You've got to repent of your sins. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take you to repent. Some people can repent like that. Others, it takes them a while to count the cost. It just depends on how you want to do it. Are you ready to totally sell out, or is it going to take you a while to do it? It's up to you. You can repent like that if you want. That's why first-timers can get the Holy Ghost, because they're willing to repent. We can't overestimate the importance of repentance. You must repent of your sins. Now, repentance is twofold. Repentance is feeling sorry for your sins. I'm not worried about you feeling sorry for your sins. All you got to do is come in the presence of the Holy God and you feel sorry for your sins. When I was young, I used to pray, "Oh God, convict those people." You don't have to ask God to convict them. All they got to do is get in His presence and they're convicted. Amen. But the feeling sorry for your sins has to be so strong that you make a commitment with the help of the Lord. You're not going to do it anymore. See, 2 Corinthians says that repentance, so you don't have to repent of it again. That means it's so strong you make a commitment that I won't do it. And Proverbs said, "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy." So that's what repentance entails, see? Feeling sorry for your sins and making the commitment with the help of the Lord that you'll not sin anymore. The Bible says you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, that's not necessarily have to come first. People do get the Holy Ghost before they're baptized. It doesn't matter to me how, just so you do it. Amen. And then the Bible says God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, different people respond different ways to it. Some cry, some laugh, some jump, I've seen some roll in the floor, some shake, I've seen people get it just standing there as sedately as I am right now without hardly any emotion attached. And they just start to speak in other tongues. I don't know how it will happen to you, but there is one common denominator. When you receive it, you'll speak in a language you've never studied. That's what the Bible says. That's the common denominator. That's how you know it happens. Amen. So what I challenge you to do, if you want the Holy Ghost, I'm going to invite you to come up in just a moment. Try to block everything else out of your mind and get your attention on Jesus Christ. If you can, get a mental picture of Him hanging on the cross. If you could focus on Him, then ask Him to forgive you of your sins. I'll tell you what, He'll do it. He'll do it. And then believe with all your heart and begin to worship Him. See, the Holy Ghost comes through worship. You've got to tell Him you love Him. Some of the best words when you're wanting the Holy Ghost is to say hallelujah. Here, just say hallelujah. Or say, "I love you." Something like that, that's worshiping Him. Don't beg Him. "Oh God, give me all." You know, don't beg Him for the Holy Ghost. Worship Him, see? Worship Him. And when you worship Him, you'll start to feel His presence. And don't back off. Just give in to it, see? Give in to it. And don't worry what it sounds like coming out of your mouth. Many people start to tighten up. You know, they feel good. No. Just, it's going to be your voice. I used to think it'd be a different voice, but it'll be your voice. It'll sound like you. But the words are not words you know. Man, it's neat. It really is. Now, without a lot of fanfare or pulling or, I'm just going to invite anybody who wants the Holy Ghost to come up and receive it. How's that? Is there anybody who wants the Holy Ghost? They can sing in the background. If you want the Holy Ghost, would you come up here tonight and we'll work with you and we'll praise with you and believe God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Those who want the Holy Ghost, come on now. Come on now. Those who want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Unsa mana. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Onto mana, the manna of the New Testament is, I mean, the Holy Ghost in the New Testament is the manna of the Old Testament. And it's for everybody who wants to receive it. Would you come? Come on, don't feel shy about it. There's a lot of people here, they're not looking at you anyway. Come on up and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Come on, receive the Holy Ghost. First-timer, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even if this is your first time, you can receive the Holy Ghost if you'd like to receive it. Amen. Praise God. Come on. Everyone, others, come on. Anyone else wants the Holy Ghost? I'm going to tell you something. Things are happening in this place and in this world right now to such a point there is no time to beg anyone anymore. There is no time to plead for altar calls. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to do it quickly. You're going to have to make up your mind to get to church and live for God. I'm going to have them sing it one more time. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. In fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the church come. And we're going to turn the front of this church into an altar prayer tonight. And I'm going to ask you to come with them while they come, while they sing this song just a little bit more. Would you come with the church while they're coming tonight?
feel the rain.